From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 8th day of December 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. And then a bit later in the program, I'll tell you how University of Illinois researchers are working to make dry grind ethanol plants more efficient. And for the very last time this growing season, the state statisticians will update crop harvest progress in their wet, cold, and sometimes very snowy regions. And in 26 minutes, speaking of snow and weather, meteorologist Don Day will be here to take up the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby wheat in the December contract at $5.19 and a quarter, down 7 and a quarter. The March at $5.39 and three quarters, down 8 and a quarter. And May wheat futures at $5.52 and three quarters, down 8 and one quarter. July contract in Chicago settled at $5.63 and a quarter, down 8 and a quarter. December Kansas City wheat at $5.20 and a half. Down 4 cents. Now comes the green in the corn pit. Surprisingly enough, December futures up 0.75 cents today, $3.69 and a half. The settlement price, Dece up 0.75 cents. March corn at $3.85, up 1 and 1/4. May at $3.96, a penny and a quarter higher. July at $4.05 and three quarters, up 1.5 cents. And next year's December, a penny higher at $4.20 and three quarters of a cent. The March at 2011 at $4.31 and a half, a penny and a half higher. December oats down a half at $2.42. Soy complex, January beans, $10.44, down 9. March at $10.52 and three quarters, 8 and a quarter lower. The May at $10.61, down 8. July at $10.67 and three quarters, down 8. August down 8 and a quarter, 10.64. And November beans at 10.37, 9.5 cents lower. January of 2011 at 10.45 and three quarters, down a dime. December bean meal at 3.16.60, down 4.80. December oil at 40.11, down 20 cents on the afternoon. December live cattle futures for the day at $80.87 and a half, lost 25 cents. The Feb's at 83.12 and a half, 17 and a half higher, or rather lower. And lean hogs at 62.67 and a half, up 47 and a half cents. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil January contract at $72.62 a barrel, down $1.31 on the afternoon. January ethanol at $1.96 and 9 tenths, down a penny and 3 tenths. Natural gas at $5.11 and 9 tenths, up 14 and 3 tenths at this hour. The RBUB at $1.92 and 6 tenths, down a penny and 4 tenths. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.99, down a penny and 9 tenths. Gold futures at $1,142.80 an ounce, down $20.60. The Dow at 10,262, down 127 points. The U.S. dollar at 76.3 is up 0.54 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. It's ugly. A winter warm storm warning is in effect for all of northwestern Illinois and much of north central into far northeastern Illinois and for portions of far west central Illinois, that until 6 p.m. on Wednesday Central Time. A winter weather advisory is in effect for Chicago and the Illinois River Valley to the southwest from 12 noon through 6 p.m. on Wednesday. A winter weather advisory goes into effect for most of the northern parts of Indiana at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That happened today. And stays in effect for most of the areas until 10 p.m. Eastern Time and for northeastern sections until 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Both of them on Wednesday and then Thursday morning the following day. A high wind watch is in effect for much of Indiana for Wednesday morning through late Wednesday night. And a wind advisory is in effect for southern Illinois and far southwestern Indiana, that from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Wednesday. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we talk to Don Day. That'll happen at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us today, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Gray and cold and somewhere between rain and sleet this afternoon here in Urbana-Champaign. And it's going to stay that way for the next day and a half or 2 days here. Kind of ugly to finish up harvest season. I doubt that many people are even moving at this point across the Midwest. What did you see in the marketplace today that popped the corn? Was it just a turnaround Tuesday and time to take some profits from the downside?
Well, it was taking profits, Todd, but it was the spreads that they'd put on over the last 4 days. They'd been buying beans and selling corn, and they took their profits on that today. I think that, along with the idea that, maybe it'd run its course on that spread for right now. So that's the reason that we saw corn hanging in there steady a little better and beans being sold off a little bit that way. You know, we started the morning overnight, we come in, and as we looked at just the outside factors, why the dollar was up above 76 again, and the crude oil was down sharply this morning, yet we saw the grains higher there. So that wasn't quite the way that we've been looking at the world, what was going on. And then the idea that the Chinese beans had made new yearly highs over in China was another thing, and it seems that that's maybe run its course for just right now anyhow.
You spoke of the dollar. It appears that it's broken to the upside. What kind of magnitude of a problem might that create for the commodity markets, or is it more that it will run its course like it did in 2005, 6, 7, and heading into parts of 8, I guess.
Well, as we look at the dollar, it isn't exactly a major bull move here. We're still at 76 cents on the dollar.
I understand that.
You know, we're still cheap here, Todd. It's just that we didn't break through 70 on the downside, and 75 is sort of what we consider the pivot point right now as the dollar goes. And, you know, we're one quick trading day away from being back at 75 or below. So, you know, that I think it's the gold that's actually it's been really taking the beating here as of lately. We're down, another $38 today. So I think we're 80-some dollars off our high last week in gold already. And when we stop and think, when I was in college, gold was $35 an ounce. So,
that was a long time ago.
That was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But the fact of the matter is the gold has really taken a beating here today as far as looking at things like that. So, but all in all, I think that we've got some prices here that we continue to say are fundamentally not sound. When we get up over $4, why the corn export numbers seem to shrink dramatically. And, fundamentally, we're looking at South America. Yeah, Argentina cut acres yesterday by, I think, 500,000 hectares. But today, CONAB and down in Brazil raised their production. I think they're estimating the CONAB at 64.5 and IBGE at 64.9 million metric ton production out of Brazil. So that sort of makes up for that. And really good weather, as far as moisture coming down there. In fact, one area is just a little bit too wet rather than not enough moisture this year.
Let's talk a bit more about the corn. How do you see the month of December and then into January progressing?
In general, as we look at the month of December, it's generally sort of a choppy month until after the 18th or so, basically as we go along the way. But we do have some problems coming along with this storm that's coming across now. There's still quite a bit of corn out in northern Illinois and the Dakotas and areas like that. And, there's probably still 8 to 9% of the corn that could be out there that's we're going to have some loss on. So I think that's going to help stabilize the corn market as such. But, we're going to be very looking at the numbers that come out Thursday morning with the government and see what they look at the carryover, see if they leave the export number the same, because there was a lot of talk earlier that they might reduce the export number. But we are running pretty close to it, so we don't look for them to change that.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Next week on Tuesday, I will be making my way across the state with the Farm Doc team as they put on their 2009 edition of the Farm Income Series. If you'd like to join that, you can visit farmdoc.uiuc.edu and check out the dates and the times and the places. Please do so at the Farm Doc website. It's on the front page at farmdoc.uiuc.edu.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, yesterday afternoon, USDA released what I think should be one of the last or the last USDA crop progress report. It showed on corn nationally that harvested advanced to 88% complete by the week's end. Harvest was most active in the Great Lakes, the Corn Belt, and northern and central Great Plains. Mostly dry weather promoted field work and allowed producers in the Dakotas to combine 30% or more of their crop during the week. However, overall progress in these states remained over 3 weeks behind normal. For winter wheat, emergence advanced 4 points during the week, 93% complete by December the 6th. Emergence was complete or nearly complete in all estimating states, with the exceptions of California, Illinois, Missouri, and North Carolina. Overall, 63% of the winter wheat crop was reported in good to excellent condition. That's unchanged from the ratings last week. Now, here are statewide updates from Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Iowa.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending December 6, 2009. Iowa received cold, dry weather, which helped farmers inch closer to the end of corn harvest. Temperatures were cold enough to allow combines to run on frozen ground. While snowfall was reported last week, levels were not high enough to slow producers trying to finish harvesting corn. The cold weather was not welcomed by all, as post-harvest field work stopped late in the week as cropland froze. Reporters estimated 58% of the cropland had fall applications of fertilizer complete, which is 13 percentage points ahead of last year, but 13 percentage points behind the five-year average. Corn harvested for grain reached 94%, which is up 7 percentage points from last week. This is the final crops and weather report for the year. The monthly reports will begin in January, covering all of December. Again, this has been Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending December 6, 2009.
This is Scott Kelly with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Nebraska Field Office with the weather and crops report for the week ending December 6, 2009. Clear conditions allowed harvest to move forward, but limited drying capacity continues to slow progress. Deliveries of high moisture grain to elevators has been limited to keep up with the drying demands. Producers in the southeastern third of the state are nearing completion, while the majority of the crop remaining to be harvested is in the western and northern counties. Statewide, corn harvested was 88% complete and sorghum harvest 87% complete. Temperatures during the week averaged 4 degrees below normal across the state. Precipitation was limited, with snow being recorded in the panhandle at midweek and across much of the south on Sunday. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending December 6, 2009. Corn was 87% harvested. Corn remains unharvested in some locations due to high grain moisture levels. Wet field conditions were also an issue. However, the colder temperatures firmed up soils, allowing producers access in some areas. Most of Minnesota experienced a cold, snowy start to December. Snow fell across many northern counties December 1st and 2nd. Snowfall totals for that two-day period ranged from 2.9 inches in Ely to 8.5 inches in International Falls. More snow fell across southwestern and southern Minnesota late Wednesday into Thursday. Snowfall amounts were generally confined to 1/2 to 2 inches throughout the region. However, heavier amounts, ranging from 2 to 5 inches, were recorded across Redwood, Brown, Cottonwood, and Wattawan counties. That concludes the weekly crop weather report. For the week ending December 6, 2009, I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending December 6th. Early in the week, farmers made good progress harvesting the remaining corn. Rain in the middle of the week left fields too wet and slowed harvest activity. But by the weekend, the ground had frozen enough to support equipment, and farmers resumed harvesting the corn crop. A few grain elevators were reported at full capacity and were unable to accept any grain, prolonging the end of the harvest season. 91% of the corn crop is harvested, compared with 100% for last year and the five-year average. By area of the state, 88% has been harvested in the north, 91% in central Indiana, and 97% in the south. The moisture content of the harvested corn is unchanged from last week and is averaging about 21%. Virtually all of the soybean acreage is harvested, with a few wet spots and a few areas that were worked around remaining. 95% of the winter wheat acreage has emerged, compared to 100% for last year and 99% for the five-year average. 46% of the winter wheat acreage was reported to be in good to excellent condition. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Our thanks to the state statisticians from the five top corn-producing states for providing us with crop progress reports throughout the growing season. Now up next, using a wet ethanol production method that begins by soaking corn kernels rather than grinding them, results in more gallons of ethanol and more usable co-products. I'll have more on the research being done at the University of Illinois. Ethanol producers can increase margins by soaking their corn. The conventional ethanol production method has fewer steps, but other than distillers' dried grains with soluble, it doesn't have any other co-products, says University of Illinois agricultural engineer Isha Kuhler. In comparing wet and dry fractionation methods, Kuhler's research team found that when using the wet fractionation method, the result is higher ethanol concentrations coming out of the fermenter and better quality co-products than the dry method. In the wet process, the corn kernels are soaked, washing the germ, which Kuhler says is a cleaner separation. There's not a lot of starch sticking to the germ. After the corn kernels are soaked, they're ground to produce a slurry. And its slurry is soaked with enzymes so that it raises the specific gravity to a point where the germ starts floating, and it can be fished off the top. Isha Kuhler explains that in the dry fractionation method, the kernel is crushed, flattening out the germ. The germ still attached to a certain part of the endosperm, and you still have a few starch pieces sticking to it. You have a very high starch content germ from the dry fractionation, and that lowers the oil content. That's a big difference in the wet process versus the dry process and the output of the ethanol plant.
It's just a modification of things that are already being done in the industry. Mm-hmm. So it can be done pretty easily. There's no significant steps that have to be taken.
The process, called E-mill, doesn't require developing any new equipment. It's just a modification of things that are already being done in the corn processing industry. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of the agricultural energy markets. Today, Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services, that's an ADM affiliate in Chicago, joins us to discuss that marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon.
Can we start with the dollar? There's a little breakout that maybe started on Friday to the upside and pushed through $76 yesterday and today. What does it mean?
Well, undoubtedly, the dollar was oversold here for over the past month, and we're seeing a correction to that trend. Some of that being related to the prospect that maybe interest rates might be starting to turn higher, which could certainly attract a little bit better investment funds back into the U.S. Subsequently, that has affected many markets in terms of the speculative appetite for commodities. In the energy markets, we've seen these markets actually backtrack for 5 days now in terms of downside move in crude oil. Those markets had been pumped up, I think, by some of the speculative interest.
And so you don't seem convinced, though, that the dollar move is one that can be stabilized to the upside?
Longer term, I doubt it. There's still a lot of headwinds that the U.S. economy will have to move through. Certainly, the jobs report was a marking point for interest rates, but I think we're going to have to see how certainly 1 month's report does not make the market, and we'll have to see a continuation of that trend too, and also see some movement by the Fed to raise interest rates to maintain the upward movement in the dollar.
You think ethanol producers are working off of good margins at this point?
Oh, certainly. Some of these margins that they're working off of looked we haven't seen for over a year and a half, and that certainly is helping the industry, particularly with some of the lower-priced assets that were bought by some of the producers here recently. Certainly their costs have been adjusted downward, and they're in a much better shape than they've been in quite some time.
Do you watch the RBOB ethanol spread?
I do, and we've seen the gasoline actually improve a little bit against the RBOB or against the ethanol. Some of that probably reflective of the inventory situation, but I generally think it's pretty much at value right now.
And what are you expecting for the next 3 months in the marketplace?
Well, in terms of the energies, I do think that we'll probably make a test of maybe that 70 area. I doubt that we'll really break much further through that level without some renewed problems on in terms of the economy. And doubts arising on how strong the recovery might be in terms of 2010. I guess for producers, we'd probably be looking at maybe doing some forward coverage on this weakness, particularly in the distillate or heating oil, to secure some product for next year's planting.
Thanks much, Stephen.
Sure enough.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. It's an ADM company out of Chicago, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A Champaign police officer who fired the gun that killed a 15-year-old boy last October will not face criminal charges. State's Attorney Julia Reed says she's concluded that Officer Dwayne Norbitz fired his weapon accidentally when Kawan Carrington was shot and killed outside a Vine Street home October 9th. Witnesses had called police saying Carrington and another teen were trying to get into the house, which Carrington had visited in the past at the invitation of a family friend who lived there. Reed says the state police report showed no evidence that Officer Norbitz intended to fire his Glock 45, but that it went off while Norbitz was struggling with Carrington with his weapon drawn. Champaign Police Chief R.T. Finney was the other officer at the scene, along with Norbitz. In his first public comment on the shooting, Finney today expressed his condolences to the family of Kawan Carrington and his sorrow over the incident. He said the Champaign Police Department would conduct its own internal review of the Carrington shooting and make any changes to policies and personnel as needed. A Loken County coroner's jury ruled yesterday that the deaths of five members of the G family in Beeson were homicides. But Sheriff Steve Nichols offered no new details in his testimony during the inquest, citing the ongoing investigation. Brothers Christopher and Jason Harris of Armington are accused of killing Rick and Ruth G. and three of their children in September. A fourth child suffered critical injuries but survived. A healthcare activist group says it'll watch the progression of federal health reform legislation to see if so-called gender rating will be banned. Health insurers often charge different premiums to group policyholders based on the number of male or female employees. Champaign County Healthcare Consumers Director Claudia Lenhoff says her not-for-profit agency is charged twice as much to cover her and her female employees than the rate for her one male employee. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. We're talking with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather forecast. Don, I cannot believe on a December day we're still talking about picking corn in the Midwest, and there's snow and sleet and ice and all kinds of things that will be available for farmers to compete with as they finish up their harvest. What does it look like out there?
Yeah, well, I tell you, you got that right. It's kind of a race against the clock in this next storm, because this storm has all the ingredients necessary to become a very nasty winter storm. We will have some blizzard conditions on the northwest side of this, especially portions of eastern Nebraska, northeast Kansas, central and northern and western Iowa, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin. Those areas looking at the coldest part of the storm, the biggest snow and ice mixture on the east side of the storm. There'll be a lot of wind, first rain, then rain sleet, then changing to snow. And then on the back side of this is extremely cold air. The air getting cold in December, having cold surges out of Canada, obviously not unusual. But this is of magnitude that is strong for even early December. We'll have record-breaking temperatures in some portions of the northern plains the next couple of nights. The good news, I guess, if there's anything about this, Todd, is that it's tracking a little bit more north, which will at least make some portions of Illinois, central, southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, maybe on the warm side of the system. But all of the Midwest, all of the Corn Belt will be impacted.
Well, how cold are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about single-digit lows on the backside of the system into some areas of the Midwest as we get on into Thursday night, Friday morning. Temperatures this morning, Cutbank, Montana, was down to 34 degrees below zero. That doesn't include the wind chill. We'll see sub-zero temperatures in the Dakotas, Minnesota, as far south as Nebraska tonight and tomorrow morning.
Oh, my, that'll freeze things up. They could run lots of things on top of soil when it's that cold, I suppose. But it won't be pretty out there as they try to finish up harvest. Any relief next week?
No. We're looking at a very wintry weather pattern setting up shop. All of the U.S. Is going to see temperatures remaining well below normal for the next 10 days. We will have to contend with probably more weather systems coming through that might produce some moisture, although I think this first one is the big one. After that, the next series of storms will be of smaller in nature in terms of how much coverage there will be of precipitation and how heavy the moisture will be, but there's still that opportunity, especially as we get into the early to mid portions of next week, for more moisture.
I will be on the road next week across the state of Illinois, moving northward each day until Thursday, and then Thursday afternoon heading back to Mount Vernon, which is in the south of Effingham, or I-70, in the lower third of the state. As I move across the state, will there be much snow at those Farm Econ Summit meetings?
Well, the further north you go, the more snow that you'll likely encounter. Now, as we get on into the next couple of days and where the storm is tracking, I think the areas you outlined probably aren't going to get a lot out of this system. But the next system that'll be coming on in is probably going to arrive, well, let's say right around next Monday night and Tuesday. It'll be cold enough that that will be a mostly snow event. So early next week, we'll need to watch out for central and southern Illinois, Indiana, getting into the next snow threat.
Don, thanks much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. It happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.